Some people believe Christians are to be submissive to any and every thing that comes their way. And we've been reading the last few chapters, have talked about the character of the Christian and to be submissive. We've read that Christ himself submitted himself in submission to the Roman authorities, even to the Jewish authorities. They came for him that night. He came forward and said, "I'm he that you're looking for." And they were terrified of him. They were terrified. They knew his power. And even Peter knew their intentions were wrong against the Lord. Peter knew they were going to try to kill him. And Peter even drew his sword, and the Lord spoke and said, "Don't you know, Peter, I could bring down legions of angels to deal with this problem. Are you going to try to prevent me from doing my Father's will?" Peter saw the Lord submit himself and to do the right thing. He saw a strong, virile, mighty Savior, one who is able to do great things, yet he allowed himself to be harmed, even unto the cross. Today we're talking about more submission, but it's also Independence Day. I love reading through the stories of our forefathers, how wonderful it is to be born in America. Amen.
Amen.
And for many, many years, long before Concord and Lexington, America was protesting the abuses of Great Britain, even back dating into the French Indian Wars. They had approached King George and said, "Well, if we fight for Britain against the French, will you then give us more liberties? Will you let us even govern ourselves to a degree?" And he says, "The king will give you the freedom to serve the king and to do his bidding." And of course, the Americans stepped up. The colonists fought against the French in defense of Britain. And guess what? The abuses continued. Some of the abuses you can find in the Declaration of Independence, and they're extensive. We often think, well, forbidding them to keep and have arms, you know, that was just one of them. And it's way down in the list of things. But they were conducting abuses in such a way that defined the individuals who lived here in America were not really people, but they were subjects. Suzanne loves to track the royal family because it's just so fascinating. And when you see British citizens come in contact with someone who is royal, you notice the women will curtsies and the men will bow, showing submission to them. When America gained its freedom, every single American became a sovereign. The Bible speaks of the liberty of Christ. It is that same liberty that is described in the Declaration of Independence, that all men are created equal by their Creator. We are not all born in freedom, but every human being is born with an opportunity for liberty. The difference between liberty and freedom, I remind you, liberty comes from God. Freedom is when you act on that liberty that He has given you. When you have said, "I am going to be free, no matter what the cost is." Now there comes that battle between submission to the authorities and standing against the authorities. And I promise you, the early patriots, they struggled with this. They prayed about this. But they ran through a whole litany of list of tyrannical behavior that was never changing. And that with every generation, more people were being enslaved and mistreated. You could have troops would arrive on your shore and they could take any possession they wanted from you. Because guess what? It did not belong to you. When the families gathered on the green grass of Lexington Concord, and Gates came in with his troops, and they were very threatening, very, very scary. Hundreds and hundreds of trained soldiers came against a few families that had gathered on the green as a militia to stand against them. The very first order given to them was, lay down your arms and get off the king's grass. Literally, every blade of grass was known as the king's green. Every deer in the field did not belong to you, but belonged to the king. Every tree that produced nuts, those nuts belonged to the king. You owned nothing. Your houses that were made of wood that came from the trees weren't yours. This is why so many Americans left the cities and were willing to live in the outskirts, out away from the protection of the forts, to live under threat of Indian raids. Because there they knew they could be free. They could harvest fish when they wanted. They could drill a well if they wanted to. They could build a house. They could do what they wanted to do. They could do what? They could pursue with all their heart happiness. They could just do that. But there's a balance. When do we tell the government no? When the government says you can no longer worship God or pursue Him or pursue the natural order of things, the natural existence of people. Because if they take your liberty away from you, let's just say they won't let you write anything, and they're already doing that. You cannot post anything online without certain groups now who are in line with this government that will take it down and prevent it from being seen. When they take the ability for you to express either in video or audio things that you desire to say that's truth, and they don't agree with that truth, they'll take it down. They'll block you. They'll take you off. You will not have access. If they can do that, then they can also take away your Bibles. They can take away your free assembly when you decide that you're going to come and worship the living God at a building called a church. They can then claim everything that you own is really theirs. Even the breath in your own lungs, it's theirs. Even the air you breathe, they want to decide the quality of that air. They want to decide the quality of your water. They want to decide the quality of the education that your children are receiving in their schools, not yours, their schools. They're godless schools. Today, we're in chapter 3 of 1 Peter. More submission. Verse 1 says, wives. And he has not started with wives, but he has already talked about, you know, those who serve the Lord, men even, who must submit. It says, wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they without a word may be won by their conduct of their wives. Remember what it said, serve your masters, slaves, even the rough and mean masters that don't always give you what you or treat you the way that you should be treated. There are wives out there who marry men, and this happens. They'll say, I'll change him. He's a good man. I feel it. So the percentages of changes are real small, and the suffering is real high, and often divorce will happen. The non-believer will eventually cause the end of the marriage. He goes on, he says here, he says, without a word being spoken, just your good conduct can make a difference. Well, our early Americans, by their good conduct, even the conduct of protecting the interest of the throne, went to war against France in the French Indian Wars, known as the Seven Years' War. Verse 2 says, when they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear, they'll look at how well you carry yourselves. But it also has to be combined, accompanied by fear, the fear and awe and reverence of God. Men will notice women who are their wives have a good demeanor about them, a good character about them, and it won't make much of a difference when it's not accompanied by the awe and reverence of God. When the awe and reverence of God is missing, the men just go, well, you know how women are, and they just leave it to, they won't have their hearts changed. But by the fear and reverence of God and a good woman, sometimes men can be changed. 3, do not let your adornment by merely outward arranging the hair, wearing gold, and putting on fine apparel. Now, if you notice, it says, do not let your adornment be merely. It didn't outlaw you to decorate your hair and to look pretty. But he's talking about an inward beauty also. Let there be an inward beauty. There was an inward beauty when the American colonists said, no, your abuses have been too long, too hard, and they're just wrong, King George. They're just wrong. You can't mistreat people continually. Our own government cannot keep mistreating and stripping away our freedoms. They cannot manipulate us or treat us like cattle, because eventually good men will say no. Good men will eventually rise up in this country and say no. And I hope it starts with the pulpits, as it did in the 1700s, where men stood up and said no. They were licensing churches. They were licensing pastors. And they had spies sitting in his congregations, in the congregations of the pastors, recording what he said. And if he ever should speak one word against the king, or one word against his rule or his rulers, they would come and arrest them or do worse. It goes, it talks about putting on fine apparel. It goes, rather let it be the hidden person of the heart with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle, quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of God. And it is precious. A quiet, gentle spirit. America is that quiet spirit. We're quiet, you know, we're calm. We just want to live and let live and have a good life. But eventually, tyrants do rise up. And the tree of liberty does desire to be watered with the blood of tyrants. He says here, let the beauty live. 5 says, for in this manner in former times the holy women who trusted in God also adorned themselves, being submissive to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed. Now we know Sarah, man. She had some learning to do. She was even laughing that God could even give her a child. He says, but here, it says here, Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. Now, I don't require Suzanne to call me Lord or Master. But I do like it when she calls me Sweetie or Honey. Those work well. I love those. And it says, whose daughters you are, speaking of your descendants of Sarah, you are if you do good, and if not, and if it says, and are not afraid with any terror. Meaning, have a brave heart, trust in God. He's going to work it out. He's going to work it out. Relationships are messy. Humans are messy. Sometimes amputations are required. 7 says, husbands likewise, dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as the weaker vessel, and being heirs together. What? Being heirs, meaning inherit together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. Discord in a home, prayers will be hindered. When there's division, as was spoken earlier by Dorothy, a house divided against itself will not stand. And when there's division within our nation, which the enemy of liberty is now about every single day, they are tearing down our history. They are tearing down the statues. They are tearing down and removing from the walls the plaques. They are describing that past history was flawed and wrong. They are creating an atmosphere of shame and retribution. That is wrong. Our prayers are not as efficient and strong when our houses and our homes and our churches are divided. There's division within churches. There's division within communities. Even within some, what you would consider a very conservative church line, the Southern Baptist recently elected one of the most liberal presidents, and they elected him by 51.4%. And he is perhaps going to cause a split within the Southern Baptist because he's comfortable with going the other direction. He's not keeping to the foundations that were laid. Pray for the Southern Baptist. Pray that they have courage to have a recount on this one, to recall him, to elect somebody who fears God's word, who fears the living God, who honors every word spoken in this Bible. Husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as the weaker vessel, as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. I want our country back together. I want every person in this country coming down on their knees. And it might be some tragic event that does stir us down to our knees nationally as a people, and that we correct the corruption within ourselves, within our neighborhoods, within our communities, and then we can come together as a nation. God says that if my people will hear my voice and humble themselves, he says, I'm going to hear you. If they cry out to me, I'm going to hear you. But you've got to have a humbled heart. 8 says, finally, all of you be of one mind. Right now, we're not of one mind, are we? Having compassion for one another. I watched the video this morning. 2 street pastors in San Diego were attacked for simply handing out packets of Bible tracts by a group called Antifa. I remember hearing in the video, one of the men said, "Man, Jesus loves you, man. Jesus loves you." And they were screaming all forms of profanity and shouting, "Jesus loves nobody. Jesus loves nobody." As these pastors were being bludgeoned and beaten. One of the radicals said, "You don't belong here anymore. Your world is over." Our world is not over. Our Christ has not even started working here yet. He is going to do very, very powerful things. He is going to empower a living, breathing Christian people again in this country. And we can change it. You can go out there and look up San Diego street pastors, or street preachers attacked. Video after video after video. And you know what's so surprising is these criminals, these Antifa, they're seldom ever arrested. And if they are, they're out overnight, mysteriously bailed out by Democrats, also known as socialists. Be of one mind, having compassion for one another. The love of many will grow cold in these last days. Love as brothers, be tenderhearted. We don't see much of that nowadays. He says, be courteous. Say the word, thank you. Say the word, thank you, I am grateful. Say, I appreciate it. May I open that door for you? May I help you load your items into your truck? Suzanne was at a store the other day and a young teenage boy came up and saw that she was struggling lifting some heavy items. And he was so kind. Not everybody is wrong. There are still some good ones out there. It goes on, not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. That's the balance right there. When do the American people say enough is enough? I don't think we're there yet. I don't think America knows what's even going on. But when the beer is no longer cold in the refrigerator, and the air conditioning is not working, and crime is rampant in every city because the police have been defunded, when food is not on the shelves, and our children are brainwashed against us, and our museums are burned, and our statues torn down, and our plaques destroyed, maybe then. Not yet. It says here that you may inherit a blessing. There at the end of 9. Right now, the way the things look like, the world's going to inherit the wind. There's an old story about that. When evolution was started to be taught in schools. It's an old movie. It goes, 10, for he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to the prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Remember that. It is not evil to protect yourself. It is not evil to protect your loved ones or your property. But it is evil to go out and strike people for the joy of just striking people. It is evil to tear down a good, righteous nation. goes on. 13. And is who is he who will harm you if you become followers of what is good? Meaning, hey, if you live a good, decent life, then you have nothing to fear. But if you're a criminal, you used to be afraid. But now things have changed. We don't live in that world now. If you are a criminal, you don't have to worry about spending one night in jail. But if you're a good person, you will be arrested. Antifa loves to start a fight on the streets, and then when good people try to protect themselves, the police come and arrest the good people. The January 6th protesters who entered the Capitol building in Washington, D.C. are still in prison. They're still in jail. Some of them had not even had a good, decent hearing from an attorney. They're being coerced and threatened, and their families are being threatened. Yet, you can burn down city after city after city and still maintain areas where the police can't even walk. And those people are not even in jail. In fact, they're celebrated. 14 says, but even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed. Those pastors this week that were beaten and attacked, they suffered for righteousness' sake. The Holy Spirit led them to step out there. And it says, and do not be afraid of their threats nor troubled. Don't be afraid. But I tell you right now, be aware. Be very cautious and very alert. For the devil, like a roaring lion, he is riding around seeking out who he might destroy. And he feels so empowered right now. And so do his minion. 15 says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. I mean, set him aside for the special purpose in which he is in your life. Set him aside in your heart. Always, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. When someone comes up to you, and they're in your face and they're screaming, why are you out here on the street corner? Why are you with that Jesus sticker on your car? Say, because Jesus loves me. And he saved me, and I was much, much, much like you at one time. Give them a reason. What is your reason? Be ready in season and out of season. And when they break your teeth, and when they cause a concussion on your body, when they break your hands and your fingers, or worse, count it as all joy. Because Jesus, who is not just the righteous, but he is the righteous judge of all the creation, he will know your suffering and he will set things right. Maybe today, maybe tomorrow, maybe when he comes back on this earth, and he will address every wrong. Having a good conscience, that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed. Some will not be ashamed till that day when Jesus is issuing judgment on all their actions, and their hearts will be revealed, and every detail and every vile thing they ever did. You have a good conscience, and they lie and say that you're wrong, that you're a hater. They say that you are a racist. They say that you are an evildoer, wrong. That you are a fascist. You're not the fascist. They are the fascist. You're an American Christian. 17 says, "For it is better if it is the will of God to suffer for doing good than for doing evil." God desires you to be tough and to do His will. I guarantee you, one of the prayers of the early patriots, when they stood on that green and they heard the drumming of the British soldiers coming, they were afraid. Most of them were grandfathers, sons, and grandsons, as young as the age of 13, as old as the age of 88. And they stood their ground, and they were told to give way. A shot was fired, but no one knows where it came from, striking one of the British soldiers. They believe it came from the adjacent woods. A lone gunman said, "Nah, I don't think so, not today," and fired upon them. Gates and his group opened fire, killing many of the citizens who stood against them. And it began at that moment. The British hunted down everyone they could. But then when shots were being heard, men, courageous men, young boys came, and they hunted the British all the way back to Boston that day. From every rock and every tree, they sniped at them and shot at them, killing as many as they could. A small regiment held the bridge there at Lexington, leading over to Concord. And it was ambushed by people that some didn't even have guns. But when they ambushed those British men on that bridge, and they took that bridge, every single one of those patriots who did not have a gun walked away with a gun. One testimony of a 16-year-old boy, all he had was a hatchet. And he said, "I no longer have just a hatchet, but I also have a British musket." It's hard. There's a balance. There's when it has gone too far. And our country is being pushed to do this. And I do not want it to happen. I do not want it. No one should want our country to fall into chaos and into war. And these words are being recorded and placed on our website, and may even draw unnecessary attention from those that do not love us. But that's okay. They may come and take us away in the night. But we will not go quietly. We are to do good, though, to try our best to do good. They will defame you when you try to do good, though. 18 says, "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit, by whom also he went and preached to the spirits in prison." Some people believe, and I do too, that when Jesus died, he went into the grave and went into the bosom of Abraham, into that holding place, and he preached to the spirits who were held there. And those who were lost in hell, those who were damned in hell, could see by looking up. And what he preached was the victory. He did not preach pardon to those who were in hell. Do not believe that. He preached in the bosom of Abraham, and sitting right next to him was that very same thief that he said, "Today you will be with me in paradise." Jesus preached, I'm sure, victory. 20 says, "Who formerly were disobedient, when once the divine long-suffering, waited in the days of Noah while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is, eight souls, were saved through water. This dates back to the earliest days of man. There is also an antitype which now saves us, baptism. Not the removal of filth of the flesh, but the answer of God's conscience toward God. For we are washed in His blood. Amen. It says, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, He is our salvation. He is everything. You are not saved by water. For indeed, the thief on the cross was never baptized. 22 says, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of the Father, angels and authorities and powers having been made subject to Him. They were always subject to Him. But He is also fully man and fully Christ, having all honor and glory given unto Him. In these days when things get crazy, and they are already getting crazy, I do not see them getting peaceful. There is only one peace that's coming, guys, and that is the peace of our Lord Jesus the Christ. It's the only peace that we will certainly have. Do not place your hope of peace in a politician or in a person who is so flamboyant or charismatic. Place your hope in Jesus Christ. Trust in Him. Have a good conscience. Do the best you can to be peaceful and honorable and good. When they threaten you, try to be peaceful. When they try to harm you, duck. When they try to swing something at you, block it. And if they try to do more than that, I know you've already prayed for them. Protect yourselves. Use whatever authority you can that God gives you to protect yourself and your children and your household and your being. These are difficult times. And our country is no longer the same country anymore. If you believe it is, you are living a fairy tale. Our country has not been what it should be for many decades. This is not a dark and gloomy pastoring message, but it's a message of reliable, sensible behavior and praise to our Lord Jesus Christ, who is our King. He is our General. He is the leader of the world, guys. And He's not coming back in hope that He can be elected. He's coming back, and He will be the authority. Period. There will be no voting. There will be no campaign. There will be no opinion polls. There will be King Jesus and nothing else. Please pray for our country. Pray for our leaders that are in power right now. Either by hook or crook, they came into power, guys. Pray for them that they will have their hearts converted and know Jesus Christ and repent of their sins and lead our country righteously. Pray for those who are in Taiwan who are under threat. Pray for those who are even our far distant state of Hawaii. It's unbelievable to think that we could be a threat, have a threat on our own state in Hawaii. Share the gospel. Love one another. Love your neighbors. Invite them to know Jesus Christ. Even invite them to come to church. Heavenly Father, this morning we just praise You and thank You. These are challenging times. These are difficult times. But Lord, what a wonderful time to be alive in Jesus Christ. for Americans thought that they would never ever have to face persecution. Persecution is alive and well against Christians in this country now. All the way from the White House, it's occurring. Let us be brave and like Jesus, not flinching, not cowardice, not looking away. Let us have hard look at ourselves, know where our faith is, and to trust you. Lead your children again, Lord. Convict our hearts nationally. Let there be a change in every church and repentance where they have gone along with the wicked ones. In the name of Jesus, we praise you and we thank you, Lord. Amen.